WBEZ Good Morning Show with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks and our Kalispell City Council member, the one that actually got elected this time without having a runoff again, Sid Dowd. And Sid is also the state chair of the Libertarian Party in Montana.
Yeah, good morning, Sid.
Good morning.
So you got a little work session tonight. We've got some things to discuss.
Yeah, there's a couple things. So we're talking about our solid waste plan again, and this is going to be a continuation of that discussion. The solid waste program hasn't really been updated or looked at for a while. We've been, you know, it's been moving along with the growth of Kalispell. And I think people really, really enjoy our city trash pickup.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we're suggesting a few changes here. You know, the people that have alleys are probably the ones that want to really take a look at this session. We're not eliminating that. It's just the frequency and the amount of stuff we can take there is probably, we've probably bit off more than we can chew over the years. But we're taking a look at that, and we're trying to make it equitable for everybody.
All right. And then there's this MAID thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Montanans against irresponsible densification.
Yes.
A new world.
Yeah. So my personal feeling on this is that both sides are wrong.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's amazing for me, right? The contrarian, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, I understand the lawsuit. The piece about the I forgot the Senate bill number, but 382 or something like that.
No.
Anyway, the one that forces cities to basically change the way that we do planning for growth and how we implement projects within the city. You know, the part about that that rubs me the wrong way is that they're forcing cities to do things. And it's a one-size-fit-all for all cities. There's a difference, I really believe, and it only really affects the big seven cities and a few others. But there's a way that we do things here in Kalispell that I think is really good. And I think taking public public comment at the time a project is ongoing or just before it's planned to go, hearing from our citizens there, I think is really important. But this eliminates that and puts all of the public comment up front before it gets, you know, at the first planning meeting session, basically. So anyway, the loss of local control there is something that we've been fighting here in Kalispell. Some other cities might, the legislature feels are out of control. I know they don't intend to affect us here in Kalispell, but they are, because we're just lumped in with everybody else. So that's the state's side of the equation. The people that are fighting this, they don't like how it's forcing densification. It's doing things like there are... under this new plan, ADUs would be pretty much available everywhere. You know, that's just one of the things. There's a reduction. A lot of the stuff that's in there is actually good. In this modern day, I don't think we need the parking for new structures. I don't think we need as much as has been put in our plans in the past. But anyway, it's... there's a lot of people with a lot of very strong opinions on both sides.
Yeah. Okay, let's skip over now to you as chair of the Montana Libertarian Party. You're,
sure,
of course, cheering on all your candidates. You've got quite a slate this year. And you yourself are a candidate, so you're playing at both sides here.
I am, and it's always a little bit tough when you – get focused in on what you're doing as opposed to what everybody else is doing in the state. But we ran into a little hiccup in Great Falls. We had three of our candidates that were dropped off the ballot because they didn't fill out their D1 form within 5 days of filing. And this is something that we might actually bring up after this election season. The D1 form and the requirement for that is... D1 is basically a disclosure form. If you have interests in something that might be something that the public needs to know about. It's on that form. I'm not saying that we need to get rid of the form, but there's no reason that it couldn't be incorporated with the same form that you fill out to run for office. It's a little bit interesting on that. And disqualifying somebody for not doing that within 5 days when it's not super clear how to do it, where the form is, and whatever is a little bit interesting. But we have some great candidates. We have some great quick statewide candidates this year. We have Kaiser Lieb, who is running for governor this year, which is something that we don't do every time the governor race comes up. He feels strong enough that we need a different voice there, and I really respect him and believe that as well. We have John Lamb running for Secretary of State, which is a great spot for him because he has had a lot of interactions with the Secretary of State over the years because he's one of the few Montanans, if maybe not the only Montanan, that does not have a Social Security number. So he's had he actually was key in changing some of our laws. One of them was the ability to get a driver's license because prior to him fighting that battle, you needed a Social Security number to get a driver's license. So that's a great race. And then we have our perennial candidate, Roger Roots, who is running for Clerk of the Supreme Court. And Clerk of the Supreme Court has historically been a good race for us because people get down on the ballot and they want to vote Libertarian, but they vote defensively. So they don't vote Libertarian until they get to that one. And then they're like, oh, who cares who the clerk of the Supreme Court is? So they vote us in there. So anyway, those are the races that we have running this year that influence our ballot access in the future. And we do also have two candidates running in the Western Congressional District that both of them I had not heard of before. So we always get nervous when people run and we've never heard of them. But we've called them and they're probably, well, they're at least liberty focused if they're not libertarians. So that will actually force a primary in the Western in Western Montana. So you'll have a libertarian ballot you can pick up if you want in Western Montana. Which is good for us because we'd like to see who is interested and who's picking up that ballot. So in Montana, we don't register for a party with the state. So you don't have numbers on who's a libertarian, who's a Republican, who's a Democrat or whatever. So we kind of go over the primary numbers, which isn't as accurate, but at least it gives you some idea.
All right.
Okay. Why no Social Security number?
Well, his family, when he grew up, he was is Amish from, I forgot what state.
All right.
He moved here as an adult, and he didn't have a Social Security number. So he has had, he's also an entrepreneur. He owns a big plot of land over near Norris, Montana. And so he's had multiple businesses. So to get a business as well, he has to jump through a whole bunch of hoops because he doesn't have
I'm just wondering. I guess he's not going to collect Social Security, huh?
He doesn't care about that.
Okay.
And
all right. But he's not paying in, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I love that statement, by the way. I'd love to talk about that just briefly. Nobody pays in to Social Security. Social Security is a tax.
Yeah.
The government could end Social Security tomorrow and you couldn't do anything about it because there's no money that the government actually owes you. They give you money under a plan, but that's something that a lot of people have trouble grasping. And it's yet another tax that we have to deal with. And you know, a lot of people feel like, oh, I paid into it, I'm going to get this back. You may not. I mean, at some point, the Social Security system, as you know, is upside down. And at some point, the federal government's going to have to do something. We're stealing from current Social Security payments to pay, you know, the payout.
Yeah, but we also have Congress stealing from that fund too in order to balance their budgets.
Yes, well,
but they gave up on balancing the budget, but it's still.
Well, yeah, Congress has not balanced a budget or even delivered a budget for years.
But they still steal from
Because Social Security technically goes into just the general fund there, and The House of Representatives is the one who sets appropriations there. So basically, they're supposed to put that money in there, but if they use it for something else, there's nothing that's illegal about that. Now, this may be why in January of 2024, the approval rating for Congress was 12%. Can you imagine what would happen to a politician here locally if he had 12%, a 12% approval rating?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be tarred and feathered and run out of town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something definitely has to change there at that level. You know, there's a lot of us that are working really hard to make a change there. And my change is not a change. It's actually a regression. I want to go back to adherence to the Constitution. So, you know, there's a lot of people that give me a little bit of flack about. There's a movement with our younger people where they think the Constitution is wrong, outdated, and doesn't fit us. What they don't understand is it was never really even implemented correctly to start. And, you know, we're imperfect people that are trying to implement a good system. And right now, if you look at where we're at, just a simple example is specifically in the Constitution, the Congress is the lone entity out of the three branches that can declare war. And that was on purpose. There's letters back and forth between Madison and Jefferson that confirm that after the Constitution was implemented in there, as they were older, they were like, you know, I'm glad we did it this way, because the executive branch is the one that is most likely to use war powers. But we wanted it in the hands of the people through mm-hmm. Congress. So the Congress is supposed to vote the will of the people that they represent. So you should have a say in whether we declare war or not. Even though we haven't declared war since World War II.
I want to focus here for just the next couple of minutes we have you, Sid, on your Senate campaign.
Yeah, so I made my first campaign stop of the season in Great Falls this last weekend on Saturday. I was in Great Falls, and this was a very small start, but it was a good start with the Cascade County Libertarian Party. It invited me over there to... basically to introduce me and to also ask me some questions. And I think that did went very well. They also had other candidates there. So Kaiser Lieb for governor was there as well, and he gave a talk. And it's just good to kind of start off the year with a really good, solid event. People that are there, I know, already support me. So it was a good practice. Mm-hmm. But that's the start to my traveling around the state. And I cannot, for some reason, drive to Great Falls without it snowing, no matter what day it is of the year. So it snowed all the way there. And then the drive back was just beautiful, no snow.
Yeah. So what's the key issue you're going to hone in on for your campaign?
So, you know, you'll be shocked to hear that I actually have planks, which is unusual in this day and age. You know, politicians used to have a platform made up of planks. I have mm-hmm. three major ones. My first one is inflation in the economy. You know, if you just saw that minibus bill that just got passed, $1.2 trillion, I think it was. Mm-hmm. We don't have that money, right? So, sure, those things that were funded, people may or may not feel need to be funded. But the truth is we just don't have that money to fund it. So what they don't talk about when they're talking about these bills is where the money's going to come from. And in the recent past here, what we've been doing is just printing more money, which is why you and I go to the store and avocados are like $4 now instead of a buck or whatever. So, you know, that's one thing that I'm really focused on in my campaign. If I get up there, I want to talk at the time about where the money's going to come from. If they're willing to cut a department's budget, or if they're going to reduce or eliminate a program to cover it, great. Or if they want to sell bonds like we used to do, I think that's a great way to go, because then the people decide if it's worthy enough for the money to go to.
All right. Well, as always, Sid, thanks so much for a great conversation again this morning. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too.